Well, this morning I'll invite you to take your Bibles, turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 10. John's Gospel and chapter number 10. We need to understand that the verses of our text today are actually a continuation of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees there in John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. So we can go back and catch context here. Understand the chapter divisions were added by men. Okay, this just flows through in the reading. But John chapter 9, look at verse number 40, and then we'll get to our verses this morning in chapter number 10. John 9:40 says, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, verses 1 through 5 of this chapter is a parable. Jesus said it. It was a parable. Verse 6 tells us that. Now understand that the word translated parable there is not the same word that is translated parable in other places of Scripture. It's a different Greek word that is translated there. It's close, but it's not the same. In fact, this is the only place where we find this word translated as parable. It is also used in four other places in the New Testament, and it's translated as a proverb. I'll just tell you that just so that you know that I know, okay? Not that it's going to affect what I'm going to tell you at all. It's a figure of speech is what I want you to get. Jesus is giving a figure of speech to tell a truth, and that's what we need to know. We see Jesus is telling this story for a purpose. And our Lord always had a purpose in all that He ever did while He was walking the earth here. And we would do well to remember that even now, Jesus always has a purpose for that which He does and that which He allows in our life. Amen. Do you know that? I hope that you know that. Whatever's going on with you this morning, whatever's happening in your life right now, the Lord has a purpose for it. And you need to seek His purpose out because He always has a purpose for what He does and that which He allows to come your way. So Jesus was giving an illustration here that He wants us to understand. Now, verse 6 states that those that were listening to Jesus didn't understand what He was talking about. They didn't understand the parable. They didn't get His point. They didn't have a clue. And that's normally the way it was with when Jesus told parables. When He tells the other parables in Scripture, the scribes and the Pharisees did not understand what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus would go on to explain to others what He meant from the stories that He told. Now, though they may have understood shepherding a lot better than us, they were unable to make the spiritual connection that Jesus was trying to make here. So Jesus began to explain himself to these that were in this crowd that was gathered around him. Now, I dare say that some of us here today don't have much of a clue about shepherding. It's not a big thing in our society, is it? I know I've seen some people that had some sheep that they took care of and on their farms and all, but I've never known a shepherd, okay? That actually shepherded actual sheep. And unless you have happened to study shepherding for some reason, you won't know much about it because it's not a major occupation today. Now, I want us to look today so we can have a better understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ is illustrating here, because it's still applicable to us today. So let's talk about, number one, let's talk about shepherding for just a little bit. As I said, Jesus' audience would have understood better than us the reference here to shepherding, because shepherds were common in the land. With all the sacrificing of sheep in the temple, shepherds were necessary to provide a continual supply of sheep. Throughout Scripture, you'll hear terms regarding shepherds and shepherding. I mean, all the way back to Moses. Remember Moses, before he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was on the backside of the desert at his shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. And the Lord used him as a shepherd to lead his people out of Egypt. We also know that, speaking of David, the psalmist Asaph wrote of David, said in Psalm 78, verse 70 through 72, he said, He, speaking of the Lord, chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. Remember, David was a shepherd. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. So a lot of the references you'll find in the Old Testament are references related to kings who were God's shepherds to shepherd his people as the nation is of Israel. And when we find that when Micaiah, the prophet Micaiah, prophesied of the death of wicked King Ahab, he had these words to say in 1 Kings 22:17. He said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And you know, the northern kingdoms had that problem. The kings were not very good shepherds to God's sheep. They were leading them astray. They were leading them into idolatry. And, of course, King Ahab was one of those, and that's why the prophet Micaiah prophesied against him. Now, we see also that God condemned the kings of Israel as well as the religious leaders through the prophet Ezekiel. I want you to hold your place there. We're not going to turn to a lot of places today, but I would like for you to turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, because this is a place that talks a lot about shepherds and shepherding. Okay, and it's talking about his people as being the sheep here, and that the leadership of Israel, whether you're talking king or whether you're talking the religious leaders, they were the shepherds. Ezekiel 34, and let's begin reading verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves. Should not the shepherd should not the shepherds feed the flocks? He say, Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, as you read all of the things there in verse 4, that these shepherds were not, Jesus is. Amen. And let me encourage you to read sometime today, read through chapter 34, because he continues to rail against the shepherds all the way down to verse number 10. And then when you get to verse number 11 and through the end of the chapter, he begins to talk about himself, the Lord being the shepherd. And that's what we know of Psalm 23 in it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what the shepherd David wrote about the chief shepherd and the good shepherd. So just encourage you to read that chapter to understand a little bit more about what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, because some of these shepherds that were not feeding the sheep were the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't what they ought to be. And other writers did the same. Isaiah chapter number 40 is another place we could go. We're not going to turn there this morning, but verses 10 and 11 have to do with the Lord being the shepherd. And it says in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And then Jeremiah 31, verse number 10, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. So these folks that Jesus was talking to, okay, they had an understanding of the Old Testament, which says a lot about shepherds, both good and bad. And he was talking about them being bad shepherds. And it says a lot about shepherding. And they knew shepherding because they lived in a society where shepherding was a major thing. And so these folks with an understanding of both shepherding and the Word of God should have had a connection, should have made the connection with what Jesus was talking about, but they did not. They didn't understand what he was saying. Next thing I want us to see, let's talk about the sheepfold. Now, in verses 1 through 5 that we read, Jesus is speaking of a large sheepfold that was situated in a central location where several flocks would be corralled and held together. There, a gatekeeper would watch the flocks, and each shepherd was responsible to call his own sheep to lead them out to pasture. So, you mean they would mingle all the sheep together? Yeah. And each shepherd would call their sheep out, and their sheep would hear their shepherd's voice and follow them. That's important to note. Okay? And that's still true today. And we see that the sheep of each shepherd would all be mingled together, but the sheep only responded to their shepherd's voice. Now, in these first five verses of the 10th chapter, the sheepfold appears to represent Judaism, or the nation of Israel, okay, as a whole. I'm talking about the northern and southern tribes, the whole nation of Israel. And those who heard the Savior's voice and responded to him were those of his own sheepfold from Israel who responded to him and his message by faith. And that included the man that was born blind, that this whole thing is really the context of. Remember, he healed the man that was born blind, and then the Pharisees had a problem with that, had a problem with him doing it on the Sabbath. And the end conversation there at the end of chapter number 9, they kicked the guy out of the synagogue. He was not welcome in the synagogue anymore because he was believing on Jesus. You know, but Jesus calmed him and assured him he'd done the right thing. And then Jesus began to deal with these Pharisees that had spoken against him. Now, this becomes more evident when we notice that Jesus speaks of leading his sheep out there in verse number 3. Notice verse 3, to him the porter, the one that keeps the door of this large sheepfold, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And then he talks about him bringing out his own there in verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, in the text here, Jesus speaks of his sheep entering the sheepfold. Now, those who hear his voice and follow him are his sheep. The question is, have you heard his voice and are you following him? Amen. Did you hear his voice and follow him? Now let's talk about the door. Because there's a different story here, picking up in verse number 7. And I'm going to give you the illustration. And you need to listen closely, okay? In verse 7, Jesus gives another illustration by identifying himself as the door of the sheep. Now, though we're familiar with what a door is, we know what a door is. We came through the doorway, right? This morning we'll exit out through the door. We've got a couple of doors in here, mainly the main exit there in the back. We understand a door, we think, but not the door of a sheepfold. All right. Now the door was the entering in place of the sheep. That's the exit place where they would exit. But let's take it a little bit farther. Though we're familiar with it, we need to understand the separate illustration that Jesus is giving here in verses 7 through 10. So let me help you out. Before night fell in the wilderness, the other sheepfold that I was talking about was a centrally located one that when they were nearby, that's where they would put them in at. But they were out in the wilderness, leaving their flocks to pasture, where the sheep grazed. The shepherd would construct an enclosure for the flock to ensure the safety of the animals for the night. Because you always had the possibility of not only wild animals, but you also had a problem with thieves, somebody trying to steal the sheep, as well as other dangers that were associated if the sheep wandered off. Sometimes there were a lot of cliffs out there, and they could just walk right off the cliffs. Sheep weren't very bright. They just weren't. And they needed a shepherd to guide them. Now, the enclosure that the shepherd would build for his sheep would back up against a cliff, you know, and you have a rock wall on the back side of it. And what he would do is he would put waist-high stones around, topped with thorn bushes, to make an enclosure, and the sheepfold would have one opening to serve as an entrance and an exit. And after the sheep had entered the fold, the shepherd would himself serve as the sentry at the beginning. They didn't have a literal door to open and close. Okay? The shepherd was the door. That's the important part here. The shepherd was the door. And the sole purpose of the sheepfold was for safety for the flock at night. And because without the enclosure to keep them secure, the sheep might be scattered or imperiled. Now, let me illustrate this with a story that I heard. I heard a story about Sir George Adam Smith, who was a famous Old Testament scholar during his time. He said that one day while traveling with a guide in the Arab nations, he wasn't in Israel, he was in Arab nations, they came across a shepherd and his sheep. He fell into conversation with the man who showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George asked him, "So that is where they go at night?" "Yes," said the shepherd. "And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe." Sir George said, "But there is no door." And he said, "I am the door." That's what the shepherd told him. And this was a lost man. This was not an Israelite. This was a lost man. He was not a Christian man. He was not speaking in the language of the New Testament. He was speaking from the Arab shepherd's standpoint. This was a shepherding thing, okay? And Sir George looked at him and said, "What do you mean by the door?" "Well," the shepherd said, "when the light is gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space, and no sheep can ever go out but across my body, and no wolf can come in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." And that is the picture that the Lord Jesus is giving here in this parable, the second parable. Entrance and exit were only permitted by the shepherd, and he is the door. And understand that Jesus is the door. Now, let's talk about the point. What point are we trying to make here? This statement by Jesus shows that those who are his are known to him. The shepherd knew his sheep, and the sheep knew the shepherd. He knows who are his, and they're known to him, and they are kept safe within the relationship into which they have entered by faith. Now, the thieves and the robbers mentioned here refer to the false wannabe shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees. That's who that refers to. In fact, John chapter number 10, there verse 8, the very first part of it, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." And chapter number 10, verse number 10, there it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now, those who do not enter the sheepfold by the gate are thieves and robbers. Jesus was condemning those who have no living relationship to him as thieves and robbers when they seek to exercise leadership over the people of God. In other words, in this point, we're talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, we know from other passages of Scripture and in the other Gospels, Jesus identified the scribes and the Pharisees as blind guides. And you heard that term, blind guides, he called them that. And that was on an earlier occasion that what we're looking at here, but was found in the Gospel of Matthew. And while Jesus' disciples were concerned that he had, when he called them that, they thought, "Master, you've offended them." This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He really startled them with this warning. He said in Matthew 15, verse 13 and 14, he says, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Listen to me. Just because a person is religious, just because they may carry a Bible and even quote a Bible, just because they may speak to you in religious terms and they say things that sound like they may know what they're talking about, doesn't mean that they possess integrity. Doesn't mean that they belong to the family of God. There's a lot of shysters, thieves and robbers that are out there who they'll carry this book, and they may even quote out of this book. They normally quote it out of context, and they'll pick and choose what they choose to share. But listen, Jesus said that sheep will not follow a stranger, because he says, quote, "They know not the voice of strangers," there in verse number 5. Sheep follow the shepherd of the sheep because they know his voice, according to verse number 4. Now, in fact, we're going to see later in this chapter, this whole thing is really about shepherding. It's about Jesus being the shepherd. He's the good shepherd in this whole chapter. And we're not done looking at all the things that he's talking about. In fact, we're basically just taking this up through the first half of verse number 10. I'm not even going to deal with this morning. He's come that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. We'll pick that up on next week, Lord willing. But we'll see later in this chapter that sheep have an obligation to know the voice of the master and to follow that voice. Later, during his exchange with these same religious leaders, Jesus said in verse number 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? And listen, quite frankly, the Pharisees were not, by and large, were not his sheep. They were not listening to his voice. They were not following him. These were thieves and robbers, and though they may mingle with the flock, they won't recognize the voice of the master, nor will the sheep heed what he says. So the faith of Christ is narrow in that there is one door. Okay? I want you to get that here too. There's just one door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Listen, there's only one way to enter the fold, and that's through Jesus, the door. Understand the nature of the pen that Jesus described here would have been meaningless to have multiple doors. Often unthinking people, even some who are religious leaders, will imagine that there are multiple ways to God. There's not. Just one. Just one. Jesus, it is just that narrow. People accuse us of being narrow-minded because of our stance on that. What do you mean that there's only one way? We're all traveling different roads, but we're all going to wind up in the same place. No. Wide is the way, to destruction. Broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Jesus said that. But Jesus always talked about it being a narrow way, a singular door. Jesus not only said he was the door, but he also says later, we're not there yet, when we get to John 14:6, we'll see he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty narrow. And Jesus did not merely show us the way to God. He presented himself as the way to God. You've got to go through him to get to God the Father. Jesus did not teach. He didn't just teach the truth. He did teach truth, but he didn't just teach the truth. He is the truth. Jesus did not simply tell us about life. He is the life. And we'll see more about that when we get to those places. But these are vital truths because they remind us that those who imagine that there are other ways to God are at best ignorant of truth. And the very claim that they make exposes them as liars. Jesus exposes them as liars. So in closing here, let's look at verse 9 and 10 again. Look at verse 9 and 10. I am the door. Notice this. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, have you entered in? Are you saved? He said, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You go in and out at the word of the master. Amen? What you do. And then there, in verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Who's the they? That's his sheep. That those that come to him enter in and are saved. Have you entered by the way of the door, Jesus Christ? Because he is the only way to be saved and to be safe. And he'll meet you right where you are. Now, he will accept you as you repent and confess faith in him. And then by his power, he will transform your life by giving you his own righteousness and making you acceptable to the living God. Understand that there's no room for anyone to think that they can please God through their own efforts. None of us can. Yeah? If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be lost. There is but one way into the presence of the Father, and that is through the one and only door, God's precious Son, Jesus Christ. And I love what verse 9 says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, any embraces all of humanity. Okay? The life that is offered in Christ, the Lord, is not restricted by any condition or status other than repentance and faith. One's birth doesn't matter. one's education, social position, wealth, achievements, reputation, or anything else. None of that stuff will exclude you from coming to the Lord. The only thing is your failure to turn to Him and believe on Him. Okay? Lord Jesus Christ invites all who are willing to hear His voice to come into the safety of His sheepfold. The call of the gospel is extended to each one who is willing to accept it. I'm going to share with you in several verses here and we're done. Okay? John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." The question is, have you received Him? Have you believed on His name? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life again." I ask you again here, have you believed on Him? John 3:18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." What's the difference between condemnation and life? Have you believed or have you not believed? That's it. Yeah. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Yeah. And then finally, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus said that those who enter in by Him shall be saved. If you don't know Him today, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you do know Him, show others to the door, okay, so that they might hear Jesus' voice and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You today for Jesus, our door. We thank You that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that by Him, those of us that are saved this morning have come to Him. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of anybody here today, but we pray if there's one here that doesn't know You as their shepherd, one that has not believed on You, Lord, help them to come do that today. And those of us that have, help us, Lord, to do our part to show others to that way that we came to know of. Someone showed us the way, and we need to be sharing the way with other people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.